This is My Daddy's Kitchen. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a nonprofit community service.
This is the Voice of Freedom. Listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network.
You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was a great treat. It's been a while since you've done that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why don't you just sit down and relax, honey? She's straining to get her head up where the microphone is. Been so long since she's done this, she's forgotten that she doesn't have to do that, haven't you?
Yeah.
What have you been doing lately? I mean, a lot of people out there call me up and write me letters and ask me all kinds of questions about you. And one of their favorite questions is, why doesn't Pooh do the pledge anymore?
Well, sometimes I didn't want to do it.
What have you been up to? What's going on in your life? There's people out there that want to know those things. They want to know more about you than they want to know about me, and I think that's wonderful.
Well, I've been playing with Allison, and I've been babysitting her today, and I forgot about the Pledge of Allegiance, and Allison, I just remembered it, and I wanted to do it.
Well, that's wonderful. What else have you been doing?
Well, I've been watering the trees, and I've been playing with Crusher and Pizza, and And sometimes when Mommy comes home, I like to talk to her sometimes, too. And especially when she makes dinner sometimes, when it takes a long time, I like to play downstairs with Allison and crush her on Pizza.
Pizza? What's a Pizza?
Pizza's my little puppy.
Well, why don't you tell everybody about Pizza? What is Pizza? Who is Pizza?
Well, we got this little puppy from Pete and Susie, those are the owners of them. And so we bought little Pizza, and that's why we call her Pizza, like Pete and Susie. Pete and Susie.
What kind of dog is Pizza?
She's a German Shepherd.
And?
And,
how big is she?
She's getting pretty big. She's about this size.
Nobody can see that, honey, but you and I.
Well?
She's still a puppy, but she's got big feet, huh?
Yeah. And you can tell she's going to be a big German Shepherd when she grows up.
Boy. And how about Crusher? You get along pretty good with Crusher?
Yeah.
You like Crusher pretty much?
Yeah, he's pretty big, too.
He's huge. He's bigger than you, isn't he?
Yeah.
A lot bigger than you.
Yeah, and every time Crusher got his bone, and sometimes when Pizza comes to play with him, and he's got his bone and he's chewing it, he'll growl at her, and if she doesn't go away, he'll nibble her, and then she'll go away.
Yeah, but he doesn't hurt her. He just lets her know that that's his bone, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you got something you got to do, or you want to talk some more?
Well, let's talk a little bit more.
Okay, what do you want to talk about?
Well, let's talk about... I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
Well, how about your horseback riding? You started horseback riding at the conference.
Yeah, it was my first time, and I was kind of scared, but I'm not scared anymore because I take lessons.
And what have you learned?
I've learned to trot without my hands, and I've learned to put my hands out and ride the horse. And Jeff, he has horses, and he controls the horses to follow him around so I won't bump into anything when I have my hands out walking.
When you say you have your hands out, you're actually standing up with your hands straight out from your side, and you're trotting on the horse. Or the horse is trotting, and you're on the horse, right?
Yeah.
And you do that pretty good, huh?
Uh-huh.
And you can get off pretty good, but the horses are still too tall for you to really get your foot up in that stirrup without a little help, huh?
Yeah, remember that time when that really big horse, and I couldn't even get my foot up there.
Well, that was a real big horse.
Yeah.
He was a nice horse, though, huh?
Uh-huh.
And you practiced getting on and getting off.
Yeah.
Well, that was a lot of fun. Who's Jeff?
Oh, Jeff, he's at, when we went at the conference at the ranch over there, at Thunder Horse Ranch, he's over there that works for everything and stuff, and he lets people stay in his cabin, and so that's Jeff.
It's his ranch.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was here for dinner last night, huh?
Yeah.
And that was a pretty good time.
Yeah.
Isn't he a great guy?
Yeah.
You like him pretty much, huh?
Yeah.
Of course, I couldn't tell with all the hugs that you and Allison were giving to Jeff. I couldn't really tell if you liked him or not.
I like him a lot.
I know. I'm just teasing. Well, honey, I've got a little broadcast I got to do here and a lot of things that I got to talk about. So, you want to stick around and just sort of listen to all this stuff?
Nah, I think I'll go turn off my computer and see Mommy.
Okay. Aren't you going to, you're not going to use your computer anymore tonight?
No. Sometimes I like to use it for a little bit. Sometimes I get cold with that air conditioner. And sometimes I like to go inside.
Oh, okay. Well, we can't turn the air conditioner off because it gets real hot in the studio if I do.
Yeah.
But after the broadcast, if you want to go back and work on your computer, we can turn it off.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for the pledge, babe, and thanks for all the good reports that you just gave to everybody that's have been wondering all about you.
Okay. Daddy, can I do the pledge one more time so just in case I forget about to do the pledge a lot of time and the people remember about it and I forget?
Well, if you want to, go ahead.
Okay, here goes. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
See you later, agitator.
Okay, after a while, crocodile.
Bye, babe.
Bye. Thank you.
music. I could disappear, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not joking at all. I could disappear into the studio and wrap myself up in the headphones and not come out for weeks, literally, with all the wonderful music that we have, and as much as I love to listen to it. But if I did that, I'd never get anything else done. Have you ever felt that you're just getting out of touch with everything, just sort of going off the edge? Today, I started sort of feeling that way. Yesterday, I sent out a post on the internet. I borrowed a friend's mailing list. I had no idea how long the mailing list was. I just, took the file and unzipped it and plugged it in on the two line, and I didn't even, it just went right in there, and all you see is one line. I didn't realize that it was, a couple of hundred addresses in that. And my mailing program, which is Microsoft Internet Explorer, doesn't have what I didn't even know existed at the time, called a BCC, or Blind Carbon Copy, which keeps everybody from seeing all the CC, or the addressees that the thing is going to. And I just sent it out announcing my website to all these people and asking them to check it out. If they liked it, to please, pass it on to their friends or anybody who they thought could benefit from what we've done there. And, I've talked about this before. It's been probably a couple of years. But remember I told you that the internet and computers seem to be a place where social misfits just thrive. Well, I did this in all innocence, not realizing there were that many names in the address in the mailing list, and not ever having even heard of a BCC. Boy, I sure heard about it real quick, I got to tell you that. And just sent it out. And all of a sudden, I began to get the most vicious, vile, despicable, hateful email returns that I've ever seen in my life. Instead of somebody calling and, they don't call on the internet, they send email. Instead of somebody sending me some email and saying, I got this big long thing and most of it was addresses. I wish you wouldn't do that. Let me clue you in to the BCC function, and if you don't have it in your mailing program, let me recommend some mailing programs that do. And since I found out that the upgrade to Microsoft Internet Explorer 4 does have it. Or they could have just, sent a little post saying, politely, please remove me from your mailing list. Well, it's not my mailing list in the first place, and I'm certainly not going to use it again because it just isn't worth the trouble. And it turned out that about at least one-third of them were not good addresses, so I've been getting hundreds of kickbacks from wrong address places in my email. And we'll be getting them for days because the internet mailing system keeps trying to put them through even though the address is no good. So, let me tell you something. There are some real hateful people out there who hide behind their computers knowing that no one knows who they are because all you see is their little internet address. And saying and doing things that they would never, ever do in their life if they were standing in front of the person that they were saying it to. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to tell you, they wouldn't live very long. They wouldn't live very long. And I think that this internet thing, this anonymity, how do you say that word? I can't even pronounce it. Anonymity of these people who can sit behind a computer and just spew hate and terrible things to anybody that they want to. And you know what? When they do that and they get a reply back that tells them, just where they ought to go because of it, they feel like they've been injured. I'm not kidding you, folks. They can send out this hateful, vile, venom-filled attack because they didn't like what you did, no matter how innocently you may have done it. And when you send a post back, you know, tell them that you didn't appreciate the what they said or how they said it, and tell them, you know, where they can jump. They feel like they have been injured. It's okay if they do it, but when they get the consequences of their actions, you've done something wrong, but they haven't done anything wrong. It's just the most incredible thing that I've ever seen, ladies and gentlemen. If there's a place to breed terrorists and to breed hate and to breed antisocial behavior, it's computers and the anonymity that people can cloak themselves in with the use of these things. I used to subscribe to mailing lists a long time ago because there's a lot of them out there. And a lot of them have some pretty good information on them every once in a while. Most of what goes on in those mailing lists is attacks and flaming and terrible, all kinds of stuff. And I went on there and I would get on these mailing lists and I would pick through and get the good stuff. And every once in a while I would make a comment, very polite, giving some information, contributing to the mailing list. And as they would do to other people also, all of a sudden I would find myself coming under these most vicious, vile attacks from people. And then finally one day I said, I'm not going to put up with this crap anymore, and I'm not going to take any of this this disgusting behavior from these little twits who wouldn't even have the guts to stand in front of you and say hello, much less what they do on this internet. And so from that point on, I adopted a policy that anybody who pulled that stuff on me, I just chopped them down to their toenails and ate them alive. And if they even dared to come back, then I ate what was left and spit it out and just ran right over them. And these people hate you for that. But what they want you to do is take all of their abuse and never say anything. They want you to go whimpering off with your tail between their legs. And they've never seen anybody like me before. I just don't do it. Not anymore. I used to. You know, I used to try to be nice and polite like my mother taught me. But you can't be that way on the internet with email. These people will just write all over you. And then they start their mail bombs and all of this kind of stuff. So I also have a policy. If somebody starts sending me bad stuff, I just send them back, you know, asking them politely not to do it. And if they continue to do it, every time they send me one, I send them back, reply, their own message with nothing in it. I just hit the reply to sender button and send it back to them 12 times. So if they send me 10 of their junk, crap, vile, vicious, you know, stuff that they do, then they get 120 back in their mailbox. And then if they're foolish enough to send me 10 more, ladies and gentlemen, I just, again, send them 12 times as many right back in their mailbox. And it may take 2 or 3 days, but eventually they get the message. And I never hear from that person again, ever, not in a million years. But I've got to warn you, if your children are on the internet, make sure that they're not one of these people who are doing this vile, vicious, lashing out at the world from the anonymity of the internet, where they can hide and never suffer the consequences of their actions unless they happen to run into somebody like me who just flat stopped taking that kind of abuse. Because it can develop into something terrible, folks. If people get the idea that they can do these terrible things in secret, what's going to stop them from jumping out from behind their computer and going out into the darkness of the night and begin to do terrible things to people under the mask of darkness? And of course, if they do that, you know, sooner or later they're going to get caught and going to go to jail, going to go to prison. And I'm sure that's not something that you want to happen to any of your children at all. It is it's a terrible thing in that respect that is being bred on the internet. There's also something else that's happening on the internet that's not good. And I want to talk about that for a minute. And that's this hacker thing. Now, I'm not attacking hackers because I know there are some good hackers. Hackers are people who usually, at a very young age, become expert with computers. I'm talking about young. I'm talking about 9, 10, 11 years old, 12, 13, 14. And they begin to experiment, reach out, and try their expertise, so to speak. Because they're bored now, there's really nothing else for them to learn on their little computer at home. You know, once you've mastered it to a certain point, and you've gotten into the technicalities and the programming and all of these things that some of these young people have done, then they want to reach out and test their expertise and challenge the world. And it began as simply trying to break security codes and get into places where you're not supposed to be, and they never hurt anybody. Never hurt anybody. And the real good hackers, and by good I mean good as in the sense good versus evil, still don't. It's just a challenge to them. They're not trying to hurt anybody. They're not trying to destroy anybody's credit rating or steal money or cause World War III or any of those silly, stupid things you see in movies. But you see, a sort of romanticism has grown up around those original hackers who then began to publish things and have their own groups on the internet and elsewhere. And other people begin to plug into this and learn how they're doing these things. And other young people who are not so good began to experiment in this manner and are causing some tremendous damage. Tremendous damage, ladies and gentlemen. I can assure you that there are some people out there who are hackers stealing large sums of money every day. I don't know where they're putting it. Neither do the security people. They just know that it disappears in electronic transfers and from accounts and all kinds of things. And, of course, the banks just factor this into their operating expenses, and it means that you have to pay more interest for loans than you would have normally. You get less interest for your savings accounts and your interest-bearing accounts, and your service charges and all of these other things, charges for charge cards and ATM machine charges and all of that kind of stuff go up. And they've been going up continually for several years, partly due to this. Now, if you're a hacker, don't start writing me letters and calling me and telling me that I'm full of baloney. I've done my research, and what I'm telling you is the truth. There are some good people out there who call themselves hackers and would never hurt a fly. Unfortunately, and they admitted this themselves in their last hacker convention, in the publications that covered the convention, they made note of the fact that less than 25% of the people there were what you would call the good hackers from the good old days and the good hackers of today. And the rest of them didn't have goodness on their mind, and they were talking about 3/4 of several thousand people, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what do you think about that? So, there's going to be some problems on the internet. And so you can brace yourself for this. I'm going to assure you of this. These problems will be the excuses that will be used to stifle free speech and to control the internet, and to control what can travel over the internet, who can do it. Eventually, there may be even licenses required to use the internet for anything other than sending email. Now, I'm making this prediction based upon what I can see right now, and based upon what the government has already proven to us that they want to do. So knowing how badly they want to control information and control the internet, and remember, it was the government that set this whole system up in the first place, whether you understand it or not, and whether you realize it or not, they didn't do it for altruistic reasons, ladies and gentlemen. They didn't decide to allow the public in on this because they thought the public needed to know all this information. No. They did it with the ultimate goal of everything eventually going digital, ladies and gentlemen, over a worldwide network that, since they set it up, they will eventually be able to control. And understanding human nature and the abuses that some people will heap upon others and will take advantage of this huge, vast informational highway, understanding the human nature in all of this, they're going to use that for the ultimate end excuse to bring total control on all of it. And it's going to be a hard fight. It's not going to be easy for them, but I guarantee you, in the end, they're going to win. They're going to win. And if you don't believe that, you haven't been around on this earth long enough, because that's exactly the way it's going to be, folks. You see, when the Illuminati make this statement, a nation or world of people who will not use their intelligence are no better than animals who have no intelligence, and such people are beasts of burden and stakes on the table by choice and consent, they're not just whistling Dixie, so to speak. They're telling the truth. And unfortunately, most of the people on the face of this earth fit exactly right into that category. Whether you like it or not, that's the truth. And that's why the world is so screwed up. And that's why we here in the United States of America find ourselves at this point in time facing the loss of our freedoms. And ultimately, our country. We're being destroyed from within. And human nature and ignorance, apathy, all of these things are allowing it to happen. I was talking to someone the other day who knew full well what's going on. I said, well, why don't you get up on your soapbox like I'm on my soapbox and help us out, because if we educate enough people who've got enough guts, we can stop this stuff. You know what he said to me? He said, well, Bill, he said, you'll never get a fly in your mouth if it's not open. I just looked at him and shook my head and walked away. You know, you can't, you can't even reason with someone who makes those kinds of silly statements. Basically, what he was telling me is he didn't want any of it to come back on him when the you-know-what hits the fan. He didn't want to even get a speck on him. I just wonder how he's going to escape that. You know, you're not ready for anything. Neither are most of you listening. You're not ready for anything. And I guarantee you it's going to be a hard road to hoe here pretty soon. In this country, a real hard road to hoe. And there's going to be a fight, ultimately, over whether or not they're going to get our freedoms and liberties. And people like me will be doing the fighting. If you're not with us, you'll either be with them or with nobody. And I can tell you right now, if you're with nobody, you're going to be in a world of hurt. World of hurt. I suggest you get a movie called Red Dawn and just take a look at it, because it's not far-fetched at all, ladies and gentlemen. It's probably exactly the way it's going to be. Exactly the way it's going to be. It's as close to the real thing. In fact, it's in that movie. It's a five-reeler. I mean, it's a long, long, long one, and it's on 5 2-hour videotapes. Take a look at that one. That one's closer to the truth than Red Dawn. And if you're squeamish or you're just sort of slightly hesitant to really look at the truth, look at Red Dawn first. And if you can digest that, go get America. and then watch it. And then you better hold on to your hat, because that's what's coming, folks. I can't be any more brutally honest than that. If you think it's not, you don't know much about real Americans. I can tell you that right now. And if you think it's not, you know, even if you think there are no real Americans left, you are sorely lacking in your education of what socialism does to countries and peoples when they take over. So here's a waltz on me. Okay, everybody sit down. You didn't think I was going to let you just waltz off into the sunset, did you? Thinking everything's going to be all right. Nope. Now, you know why this is happening, folks? Because Americans fell into ignorance, and then into apathy, and now they're just flat out stupid. I'm talking about most Americans. And yeah, you can get insulted because I'm talking about your mother and your father and your aunt and your uncle and your brother and your sister and your grandmother and your grandfather. And in many cases, I'm talking about you. And don't worry, folks. It's no different in my family. You see, I see people every day say, we're not losing anything. What are you talking about? What freedoms are we losing? You don't know what freedoms we're losing, really. Can you tell me, sir, what is the fourth article in amendment to the Constitution for the United States of America?
I don't know exactly what the fourth article in amendment is, but I know what our freedoms are.
Oh, really? Can you enumerate them for me? Can you tell me what they are? List them on your fingers and just, you know, tick them off. Tell me what individual rights are protected in this country. And, you know, if you feel really brave, you can tell me what limitations are placed on the federal government to prevent them from trampling on our rights.
I've got to be late for an appointment. I got to be down to...
Sure you do. You know that most people listening to this broadcast fall into that category. You know that most people in the United States fall into that category. You don't know you're losing your freedoms because you don't even know what freedoms you have. You've never even read the Constitution for the United States of America. You hear about the Bill of Rights all the time, but you don't know what they are. ...99.9% of all the homes in this country don't even have a copy of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights in that home. Unless it's in their set of encyclopedias that they never crack open, ever. I don't even know why most people buy them. You can walk into their bookshelf and look at them. You can tell nobody's ever looked at them. Nobody's ever opened one of them, ever. They sit there as sort of a monument to the status, the financial status of the family. Isn't it amazing? Listen to this. This is from the Arizona Repulsive, Sunday, September 21st, 1997. Constitutional knowledge sorely lacking, survey says. Well, you didn't have to take a survey to know that. I could have told them that if they had just called me on the telephone. But, you know, everything has to be by survey. And it's not valid unless they take a survey. How many of you have ever participated in these surveys? I saw one the other day, ladies and gentlemen, that claimed to tell what everybody in the United States of America was thinking about the subject of the survey, and right at the top, it said this survey was conducted with 1,200 homes. 1,200 homes, and they're telling us what 260 million Americans think? You know, you can quote all this gobbledygook about survey science and statistics and all that kind of stuff, and I'm going to tell you you're full of crap right now. It's not valid. It doesn't apply. It is used to create public opinion, not measure it. Anytime somebody tells you that they know what all Americans are thinking because they took a survey of 1,200 Americans, and they don't show you their questions, and they don't tell you where these 1,200 Americans were, and even if they did, it wouldn't matter. 1,200 people do not speak for 260 million. It's as simple as that. But listen to this. Washington, pop quiz. How many U.S. senators are there? Quickly, everybody listening, tell everybody else in the room how many senators are there. And I should tell those of you who really know, keep your mouth shut. Going to be some embarrassed faces, red faces, sitting around in these living rooms listening to this broadcast tonight. And I'll bet you, some people are turning off their radio right now rather than allow anybody to know how stupid they have become about their own country. This survey says half of all Americans do not know the answer. And I'm not going to tell you the answer, folks. I'm going to make you look it up if you don't already know. Half of all Americans don't know how many senators there are in the United States Senate. Two out of every five don't know that there are three branches of government. And that's where the survey has gone off the deep end. Actually, in fact, in the law, there are no longer three branches of government, ladies and gentlemen. How many of you believe that the Justice Department is one of the three branches of government and that the courts are a part of that branch? Well, you're right if you think the courts are a part of that branch. You're absolutely correct in that. But you're wrong if you think the Justice Department, or the judicial system as they call it, is one of the three branches of government today. It is not. It is not, ladies and gentlemen. How can it be? When the Justice Department is a part of the executive branch of government, and the United States Attorney General, who at the present time is the butcher of Waco, Janet Reno, is appointed by the president, a political appointment. How many of you realize that the courts are not separate like they used to be, when there really were three branches of government? How many of you realize that the courts come under the Justice Department? I'm talking about the United States courts. Didn't know that, did you? How many of you know that the legislature, the Congress, gave away their authority to the president in 1933? Didn't know that either, did you? Well, you can look it up. I've read the site giving you the law on this broadcast, I guess, at least a dozen times. 1933, during the so-called banking emergency, Congress gave the president the power to make law. They gave blanket approval to all past, present, and future executive orders the president may ever write, or has ever written, or any president has ever written. And until that time, the president could only write an executive order, ladies and gentlemen, elaborating on policy of the executive department of government, or the executive branch. But once Congress passed that law, that gave the president the power to create law simply by writing an executive order and signing his name to it. So if you want to know the truth, and most of you don't want to know the truth, you get as far away from the truth as you possibly can and stay as far away as you possibly can, there are no longer three separate branches of government. They like to keep up the charade and make you think that there is. But if there really were, folks, this country would not be in the terrible straits that we find ourselves in today. But anyway, you can look it up. Go look up the legislation that was passed in March of 1933. I'll give you that much. You see, part of my mission is to get you off your butt and get you to start looking for the truth and document it yourself. Because unless you go find that stuff yourself, folks, you're never going to know whether I told you the truth or not, are you? Fewer than one in five. Fewer than one in five. That means less than one-fifth of the entire country, according to this. But I got to tell you, this is just a poll. What they say here are probably the wrong figures. But this is one poll that I've read that's probably closer to the truth than any poll I've ever read. It says fewer than one in five surveyed was able to correctly answer at least 8 of 10 basic questions, such as how long senators serve, who nominates Supreme Court justices, and what the first 10 amendments to the Constitution were called. You see, they didn't even ask them, what are the first 10 amendments? They just ask them, what are they called? You see, I did it backwards one time. I asked a bunch of young people, I just walked down the street and stopped young people when I saw them, and I asked them, what are the Bill of Rights? One guy told me it was his laundry bill. I'm not kidding you, folks, it's the truth. And most of them didn't know. Most of them were in the high school age bracket. Of all the people polled could not name any of the First Amendment rights, and only 6% of all the people polled could name all four. And isn't that funny, folks? Because there's 5 First Amendment rights. Even the people who gave the poll didn't understand that. You see, they thought the 4 rights guaranteed under the First Amendment were freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion. And they forgot about the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. How about that? Yet, all these people who don't know anything about the Constitution, in the survey, 91% of them consider the Constitution to be important. Based upon what? They don't know anything about it. How dare they make the decision that it's important when they don't even know what it says? 77% of these idiots said that they consider that the Constitution has an impact on their daily lives. Oh, really? You see, the people who did the survey missed the beat. You see, I would have turned right around and asked them, really? What kind of effect does it have on your daily lives? Can you enumerate those? I mean, list them down in order of importance. Highest at the top and the lowest down at the bottom. The good news is they have a great reverence for the Constitution, ladies and gentlemen, a document that they don't know anything about. Nothing whatsoever. Here are some of the things that these people said on this survey that is appalling. 16% believe the Constitution declares Christianity the official United States religion. 35% believe the document declares English the premier language. Oh, my goodness. And then they got the guts here to say, has a margin of error plus or minus 3 percentage points. Can you believe this, folks? Can you believe this? And you wonder what's wrong with this country? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. Go in your bathroom, close the door so nobody can see what you're doing. Look in the mirror. That's what's wrong with this country. Staring you right in the face. That's exactly what's wrong with this country. There are very few Americans left. In fact, there are very few people in this country who even know what Americans are. Who even know what America is. Who even understand the slightest concept of the principles and ideals upon which this country was founded and made it the greatest nation on the face of this earth. And oh, by the way, if I've adequately shamed any of you into going out and getting a copy of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, which are, in fact, a part of the Constitution. The Constitution was not accepted without them. Make sure that you get the preamble to the Constitution and the preamble to the Bill of Rights, which most people don't even know exists. I'm going to read it to you right now, so that you'll understand what these Bill of Rights were for and why they had to be attached to the Constitution before it would be accepted, and just exactly what the second article and amendment really means. Congress of the United States begun and held at the City of New York on Wednesday, the 4th of March, 1789. The conventions of a number of the states having at the time of their adopting the Constitution expressed a desire, in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added, and as extending the ground of public confidence in the government will best ensure the beneficent ends of its institution. Resolved by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, 2/3 of both houses concurring, that the following articles be proposed to the legislatures of the several states as amendments to the Constitution of the United States, all or any of which articles, when ratified by 3/4 of the said legislatures, to be valid to all intents and purposes as part of the said Constitution. Do you understand what I just said? See, most of you think the first 10 amendments are just amendments. They are part of the Constitution. Now that you understand why they did it, if you understood what I read, some people, I guarantee you, didn't even understand what it is that I read. What I read, folks, is the states looked at the Constitution and said, this isn't binding enough upon the federal government, and it doesn't guarantee the rights of men. We want guarantees set in stone that this government can never oppress us or enslave us or become a tyrant against us. We want this done before we accept the Constitution, and these will be a part of the Constitution. Now that you know that, maybe you'll understand the second article in amendment a little better, which says, and I quote, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, they've even done something else, ladies and gentlemen, to con you into believing that the second article in amendment in the Bill of Rights has a different meaning than what it really has. They have inserted two commas. A well-regulated militia, comma, being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, comma, shall not be infringed. Sorry, folks, they inserted three commas. In the original version, there are no commas whatsoever in Amendment 2 of the Bill of Rights. And the meaning is clear and should be read thusly: a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Got it? Now, if you don't believe me, go to the original version of the Constitution or a certified copy of the original Constitution, and you will see there are no commas there. In fact, whatever version of the Constitution and Bill of Rights that you get, ladies and gentlemen, you should compare them word for word, letter for letter, and punctuation mark by punctuation mark with the original to make sure that these socialist, jackbooted Nazi thugs are not subverting you with punctuation or with a lack of capitalization or with capitalization where it doesn't belong. In the law, a word that is capitalized has a different meaning than a word that does not, and you better understand it. So make sure that your Constitution and Bill of Rights are an exact copy of the original and have not been bastardized, fooled with, or screwed around. Got that? Otherwise, you'll never know if what you have in your hands is really saying what the Constitution really says. These people are tricky. And you ought to know that by now. And the last thing on my agenda tonight makes me just so sick I can't stand it. How in the world can legitimate, good law enforcement people, or as I like to call them, the good ones, are really peace officers, and their motto is really, and I'm talking about the good ones, to protect and to serve. How can legitimate, honest, good peace officers in this country, police officers, put up with this crap? You all saw the shootout in Los Angeles, didn't you? I couldn't believe what I was watching. You see, they tell us that the Los Angeles Police Department is the most well-trained, premier police department in the world, and all I saw was a bunch of fools running around in the street out there. You see, I learned something in the Vietnam War. You give a fool a machine gun and he's going to rattle off every bullet he's got within a short period of time. You give a man who's trained how to use a machine gun and knows what it's for, and he'll do a good job with that machine gun, and he'll cause the enemy tremendous casualties. And he can lay down suppressive fire that will allow you to save your butt when it needs to be saved. But I didn't see that in Los Angeles. What I saw was a bunch of cowboys, little boys with toys, out there just shooting and shooting and shooting. They were shooting when they couldn't even see anybody. And they claimed that they couldn't get these two guys until they went into a gun shop and borrowed all of their M16 rifles and all the rifles that they had. And now, guess what? The Los Angeles Police Department gets M16s to even the odds. M16s are fully automatic rifles, ladies and gentlemen. Or they can be. They can be, depending upon where you set the lever, they can be semi-automatic or fully automatic. Let me tell you something. And if you're a police officer, you better listen to me. I've got a lot of experience in fighting human beings and killing human beings. I'm not proud of having killed human beings, but I know what I'm talking about. If you had a pistol or a regular shotgun or a regular rifle that all of you carry, or most of you carry these things, if you couldn't hit those two guys with your pistol, your shotgun, or your regular rifle, you're not going to hit them with M16s. You're just going to cost the city a lot more money. A lot more innocent people are going to get killed, and there's going to be a lot more property damage for all the rounds that you're going to fire off. They're going to cause all this damage. And if you're facing a real good marksman who knows what he's doing, you see, the key to the proper use of a firearm is you never, ever fire it. Never, listen to me, never, ever use a firearm, never, ever fire a weapon unless you know you're going to hit your target or unless you have a specific purpose in mind that is a legitimate tactical reason for firing that weapon. I got news for you, LAPD. Your M16s aren't going to do anything but get you in more trouble than you've ever been in before. And if you can't hit your suspect with a shotgun who's standing right in front of you, you're not going to hit him with an M16. You don't have a prayer in hell. You had two guys facing hundreds of officers. And here's what I heard the officer say. I couldn't stand up and take good aim because of all the fire they were putting out. Are you telling me that you had two suspects surrounded by hundreds of officers and at no time was an officer in a position to stand up, take careful aim, and hit one of those suspects? I'm telling you, if you're telling me that, that you're a bold-faced liar and that you don't know what you're doing, your training sucks. And you're going to kill a whole lot of innocent people with your newly found firepower. You don't like it? Well, Jocko, I don't like it either. And that's why I said it. Good night, folks. And God bless each and every one of you. And folks, I got to tell you this, I am really glad that the L.A. Police Department was not with me in Vietnam because I would have never come back. And now, folks, you have another reason why President Clinton called me the most dangerous radio host in America. You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. We now return you to all oldies most of the time. Classic radio, like you always wished it could be. Only the very best of the very best music of all the generations gone by.
Well, I saw the fingers coming out of the sky, but one long horn and one big eye. I saw Mr. Shaking and I said, ooh-wee. It looked like a purple people eater to me. It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. Sure looks strange to me.
One-eyed.
Well, it came down to earth and he lit on a tree. I said, Mr. Purple People Eater, don't eat me. I heard him say,